When he promises, it's already delivered. Everything is in place by his word. All he's waiting is for your prayers. All he's waiting is for your words. All he's waiting is for your acting on the word, for him to release it. You say, well, that sounds too simple. I had a guy say that to me one time. Remember that at the White House? He said, well, you're making it sound so simple. I said, well, it is. I mean, if it was complicated, nobody'd figure it out. But because of God's promises, we can be sure, like we talked about in part one, that we can abide in him regardless of what's going on in the world, regardless of what's going on around us. We can abide in him. We can live in him. We can dwell in him because we are no longer in Adam. We are in Christ. He is our life. Boy, you missed a good chance to say amen. Thank you for that thunderous silence. Because you are in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
You are in the, there are two races in the world. There are born again people and there are people who are not born again. That's the only two races that that God recognizes. We can abide in him regardless. And we talked about that the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. And we talked about the fact that our situations, our circumstances, and the events that happen in our life are no indication of whether the Lord is our shepherd. What it means is that regardless of what situation we find ourselves in, because he is our shepherd, we shall not want, because we can have the power to confront that thing, to overcome that thing, and walk above it. We can disembowel that problem, that adversity. Because we know that as we walk in him, like Manny said earlier, I mean, if you're not encountering adversity, if you're not encountering opposition, then maybe you're walking in the same direction as the devil. You're not giving him any problems. You're not giving him any worries. He's giving them to you. Because if you walk in the same direction as him, all you got is fear, worry, insecurities, jealousy, and every negative thing that there is in life comes from him. But when you stand up who you and be who God says you are and do what God says you can do, you'll have what God says you'll have. Amen. And you will be totally equipped in every situation to confront whatever is wrong, the adversity, and to overcome it and to walk above it. Amen. Amen. Isn't that good? Because he's your shepherd. You shall not want for any answer when you need one. You won't want for any power when you need power. You have a God who's always there. He's always there. Praise God. And then we looked last week at looking not just to the promise, but looking to the fulfillment of the promise. This is how we should walk. Not just looking at words on a page that promise you things, but the person behind that, and you can look to the fulfillment, because when he says it, when he promises, it's as good as done. You just got to receive it.
Yes.
This is why so many miss it, and so many never receive the promise, and never, because they don't consider it done. They think they have to do something. They think they have to be good. They think they have to be a goody-goody. Goody-goody. Why? So you can bank on your own righteousness? So you can take the glory for this and say, because I didn't sin. That dog won't hunt. Amen. Not in heaven it won't. Oh, hallelujah. Or you'll feel guilty enough for 2 weeks or something and drag around and mope around until you've paid for your own sins. Put your faith in that blood. Stand up like a man, like a woman of God, and be who God says you are, and don't suffer one more second of guilt and confusion. We're all guilty. Tell that to the devil. Say, you know what? I know that you're right. But there is a higher truth that trumps anything that you have. And that gavel has gone down in heaven. I'm forgiven and I'm free. Amen. This is the gospel of Jesus. Amen. We talked also last week about imagination. Think about this. We are finite beings, limited beings, but God isn't. And the only way he can get his vision into you is something he created you with called your imagination. And I know people think that that's fantasy or no. No, no, no. The imagination is a part of you that God uses. We need to use it properly and correctly. The devil uses fantasy to try to hijack your imagination that God gave you. God wants to fill it with truth. God wants to fill it with love. The love that this world can't give you. The love that this world can't see unless they see it in you. You know, there was this one guy, Kenneth Hagin used to talk about him. He was 90 years old, and he looked like he was about in his mid-40s, maybe late 40s. And there was this guy in town who was just an absolute maniac. He'd get drunk. He breathed gas in World War I, or somebody got gas poisoning, and it would affect him, and he'd go into these things, and he murdered a guy one time. And then... this, but they, you know, because of his condition, they let him out. They didn't know what to do with him. So he ended up murdering this other guy. And he came at the cop, and the cop was this, he knew him. And he was going to stab him. He killed him. The cop killed him, and because he had no other choice. He was coming at him with this pretty long knife. Well, this other guy in the town who was 90 years old went to his funeral. You know what he said? He said, he always had pretty eyes. Everybody in town hated this guy. They're so glad he's dead. The problem's gone. And this guy, and Brother Hagin said, what's your secret? He says, the guy said to Brother Hagin, he said, you can ask my wife. I'm 90 years old, and I'm still in good. You can ask my wife. And she knows. And... he said, Brother Hagin, here's why. There's a lot of things that came at me in life, but one thing I learned to do is keep this. Keep that tongue. Never say what I feel. Say what I need to say about every situation. He kept his tongue. You know what? Careful now. Praise God. If you keep your tongue, you keep your life, the Bible teaches in Proverbs. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we want to hear from you today. We want to clear the desk, and we're not interested in the opinions of man. We're not interested in our take on things. We're not interested in all. We want to hear from you. We want to hear you in those places in us where nobody knows, where only you know. We want you to touch us in that place that's reserved for you, that place that you know, that secret place in us. Lord, we want to transfer our thoughts for your thoughts. We need the courage to do that. We need the courage to know that your word works and that we can work it and it will produce for us. We thank you, Father. We ask you for the anointing to destroy those yokes in our life, those burdens in our life, to remove them. We ask, Father, for we call it forth in the name of Jesus now. Say this, I call forth the anointing of God to give me ears to hear, eyes to see, a heart to understand, to be sensitive to the Spirit of the living God, to walk in the life that he has given me. Praise God. Lord, and I ask for utterance too, utterance. Utterance to convey these things, eternal things that will just explode in our hearts and bring the power that we need, the full supply. We call forth answers, solutions, strength, and the full supply of the Spirit that we need to sustain us in Jesus' name. Amen. Say this out loud. I am a doer.
I am a doer.
I am a doer of the Word of God. You might as well say, you might as well be a doer, because it's only the doers of the Word who get the results. You know, the Bible says, James chapter 2, verse 20 says, faith without works is dead because it's alone. Faith doesn't work alone. Faith works by love. Faith and patience obtain the promises. It always has a partner. And the greatest partner that your faith could have is when you put action to it. Yes. Is when you start walking it. When you take it and start doing it. When you become a doer of the word. A better way of saying that is faith without corresponding actions is dead. One translation said, it's a modern translation, faith that does nothing is worth nothing. It said, show me your faith. You can't see faith. Faith is, you can't see it. But you can see it when Jesus saw their faith, when he saw their actions. Amen? When he saw them splitting that roof apart and lowering their friends down, he saw their faith, and he just became overjoyed. By the way, that was Jesus' house he was sitting in. And that was his roof that they were destroying. And he, you know what? Roof doesn't matter. Property doesn't matter. But when the heart is full of faith, he will move heaven and earth and say, son, your sins are forgiven. Woo, glory. And who can do that but God? That's what they say. You know, they didn't have any problem with him healing the guy. They did have a problem with him forgiving the guy. You ever notice that? Now, today they have a problem with you healing people, but they don't have a problem with forgiving. It's gone. See how the resurrection just turned everything upside down and backwards? Well, it's turned it right side up, actually, as far as heaven standards go. You got to have action. There is such a thing as dead faith. Why am I saying that? Because we need to make sure that our faith is vibrant, alive, living, active, ready to do. When we read something in the Word, say, I'm ready to do that, Lord. I'm ready to do that. We talked about imagination. Let me just say this. You know, when Andrew Womack was, when he read that verse saying, Lord, it says here that he who believes in you, the works that you do, shall he do also, and greater works than these? He started filling his imagination, seeing himself lay hands on the sick and watching the sick get healed. He began to see himself raising the dead. He began to see these things, imagining. And then just as these things were happening, he gets a call. Your son is in the morgue, Peter. He's dead. When Andrew and Jamie got there, he had been dead for 5 hours. He had a toe tag on. He was blue, black and blue. But Peter walked out with Andrew and Jamie. He raised his son from the dead. Through his ministry now, there's been over 30 documented resurrections, resuscitation of people who he's raised from the dead through his ministry. It starts here. It starts in your imagination when you start to see yourself as God sees you. When you start to expand your imagination with the eternal things of God. When you see yourself as a winner over sin and not defeated by it. I'm telling you something, this is good stuff. This is good stuff. Today, we're talking about, I don't know, what are we talking about? The power of the resurrection. I'm sorry if I'm, is that too loud for you?
No.
Well, if it is, I'll say, the power of the resurrection, because there's no, this is what makes it. This is where the rubber hits the road, right here. When you lose a loved one, you've got to know where they are. You've got to know that they're in the arms of Jesus. You've got to know that you're going to see them in a few minutes. And if you fill your imagination with the things, with the truth, with the word of God that says, as he is, so are you in this world, then raise him from the dead. You can do that. Jesus said, verily I say unto you, he that believes on me, the things that I do shall he do also, and greater things than these shall he do. F.F. Bosworth did it. 9 times on the Atlantic Ocean, he calmed storms. 9 times. Hurricane things, 100-foot waves and everything. And he'd go out to the bow and say, peace, be still. And 9 times, the storms went away. They have weather reports to prove that, too. I haven't done that yet. I'm not looking forward to it because I don't like storms. But if I ever did get in one, that's what I would do. If I saw a tornado coming, guess what happens? I'm going to say what Jesus said. He is my example. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 55. We're going to start here today. I've got a few minutes left to do the message. You had some extra time today to... Maybe not. But if you do give it to the Lord, he will give abundance back to you. And you walk out of here a lot freer than you were when you walked in. We're going to cover some things today that is not unfamiliar territory with this bunch here, because you've heard this before. But you don't want to fall into that trap of thinking that you know everything there is to know about a certain subject. That's called P-R-I-D-E. There is nobody who knows everything there is to know about every single subject in the Bible. None of us, and including me. In fact, probably mostly me. I don't know these things, so no one has it all. So we're going to look at some things we have. And when you do examine the foundational things, do you know what? There's fresh new revelation in those. Fresh new things that you can learn just from looking at the foundational things. So Isaiah 55, and when we open up the word, we are opening up the treasures of God's wisdom and revelation, things that have not, that eye have not seen or ear heard, but they're revealed to our heart by the Holy Spirit. Amen. So let's declare this together, and when you speak it, believe it. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is a power of salvation to me. This word is God's, that too. This word is God's accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. Someday soon I'm going to get this all right. But, amen. But we're going to do it. God, the point is that when you open this up, God, the word, the Bible says, is God. So in Isaiah 55, verse 11, God said, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Boy, hallelujah. You know, when God speaks, His word contains the power in itself to reproduce itself. Amen? Amen? God calls his word seed. And in the garden, he created every seed with a seed in itself to reproduce itself. God's word is seed. Jesus called it seed. You can read that in Mark chapter 4, Matthew chapter 13, that the seed goes into the heart, and your heart is the soil. Praise God. And aren't you glad that God is love? That God loves you? Because what he says, he sends it forth and it will accomplish in you what it pleases. it'll accomplish what he pleases. In you, say that, God's word, is accomplishing in me that which pleases him. All the time. It's working in me. Oh, the word is working mightily in me. The word is working mightily in me. You ever listen to Charles Capps on TV? And that song comes on? I just love it. The word is seed, and the seed, the word of God is the seed that carries that ability to reproduce itself. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen?
Amen.
In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word, the same, was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And verse 14 says, and the word was made flesh. The word that created everything. The word that was life. The word that was light was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father. Full of grace and full of truth. I mean, I'm not talking just full. I'm talking packed to the gills, ready to explode truth. Packed to the gills, ready to explode grace. Packed to the gills, ready to explode life. Amen. Packed to the gills, ready to explode light. Ah, you think you're in a dark place. Start speaking the word. You know what? It would help us. Let's go back to verse 3, I think it is. All things were made by who? Him. Who him? The word him. The word him. Him the word. You know, if you looked at your words as if it was a hymn, your words would mean something more to you, wouldn't they? Because just as God's word is himself, your words are yourself. It is a total extent. I mean, you were created in the image of God. When you came into this earth, you were in the image of God. Then when you became born again, you were created in the likeness of God. Amen. Just like Jesus. Amen. Not a little like Jesus, just like Jesus. And if God's word is God, and it is a hymn, that's Jesus, then your words, if you looked at your words as a hymn, you'd see your words producing something. You'd see your words start to be active and abundant and full with light, life and truth and grace. Do you know what? I'm going to say this too. The world that you live in right now was framed by your own words. You can say amen, or you can say, oh, me.
Amen.
But it's true. The world that you live in, the friends or the enemies that you have, all these were framed by your own words. I know that may sound like bad news if your situation isn't that good, but if you're the one who got you there, you're the one who can get you out of it. So really, it is really good news. Right, Rick? So when you slice one off into the woods, you say, oh, ho. That's right. Praise God. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. If he was life then, and he said, the words that I speak are spirit and life, then he's life now. And the words that he speaks now to the Father on your behalf are living before God right now. You need to come into agreement with it. Isn't this good stuff?
Yeah.
Some of this is rolling right out of the throne room now, I'm telling you. This is fresh stuff. It's hot off the wire. If his words, if the things were light back then, when he said, I am the light of the world, their light now. In fact, their light so bright, it'll blind any eye. Just like it did Saul of Tarsus. If he was a healer then, he's a healer now. Why? Because Hebrews 13, chapter 30, verse 8, says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. And he never, ever quits. And he's on your side. He loves you. He did everything for you. Because he has good things for you. Things that eye has not seen or even has entered into the heart of man. Yet he revealed those to us by his Spirit. And he continues to unfold and reveal to by what? It's not just knowledge. It's revelation knowledge. Things that are revealed to our spirit. That he holds precious to himself. Things that he wants to impart with you. This is what he thinks of you. He loves you. And he wants to give you those precious, precious things. Jesus said this. He's yesterday, today, and forever. If he's life, light, grace, truth, and everything he's ministry, if he raised the dead then, he'll raise the dead now. Amen. Let's turn to, Jesus talked about this, being a doer of the word. He said, he who continues in my word is my disciple indeed. Continues in my word. What does that mean? It means to continue in it. It means if it says it, do it. Continue. He shall know the truth, and the truth will make him free. God's ultimate desire for everybody is to be free. He is not a dictator. He's a liberator. Oh, we're celebrating a person today. We're celebrating he who is the resurrection and the life. He said, I am. Mary said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. He said, well, your brother will live again. She said, I know he'll live in the resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never die. He who lives and believes in me will never die. Boy. When you're born again, you've done all the dying you're ever going to do. When this whole body falls over, which I'm not expecting it to right now, and guess what? It'll be like taking off your jacket, letting it fall to the ground, because there'll be no pain in it. He already bore the pains of death. It says, he suffered death for every man. And he was made alive in the spirit. Man, if that isn't being born again, I don't know what is. Jesus is alive. So are you. Jesus said, the things that I do shall he do also. That means that Jesus didn't do them because he was the Son of God. Oh, did I just prick a religious balloon there? Let that sacred cow just roll over and die because it's true. Jesus didn't do his miracles because he was the Son of God. If he did, then he totally failed in Nazareth. Because he couldn't do any miracles there because of what? Their unbelief. Do you see how free it is? If this is unbelief, just go like this. And start believing. And then you'll see miracles. I had to throw that in there. Because I want you to know the risen Christ lives in you. And he wants to do a lot through you. But he can't do it without your cooperation, and he can't do it if you don't put action to your faith. You need to be a doer of the word, and when you do the word, power is released. The high priestly ministry and the mediator of the new covenant stands up, and he starts doing things. He says, Father, he's acting in faith. Do it. Father, I said that. Do it. Make that good. Make this good. But you got to do the word, and the whole thing comes to life. But if you never get out there and do it, you can go to your grave without realizing any of this is true, without experiencing it. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, Paul prayed a prayer for the Ephesian church. And it's in the Word of God, so it is open game for all of us to receive the same answers to the same prayer. He prayed for them, and he prayed for you. And this is a Holy Spirit prayer for all of us. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding, being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in the world that is to come. And has made Him to be head over all things to the church. Praise God. He's done so much for us. But here's the thing. It's not just wisdom. It's the Spirit of wisdom, and that Spirit speaks. It speaks when you need to know what to do when you don't know what to do. It's the Spirit of wisdom that gives you supernatural wisdom in the moment when you need it, in the now when you need it. It's not just your calling. It's the hope that continues to, when you've done one thing, there's another level, another level, another. It's a hope that continues to blossom. It's not just the exceeding greatness of His power to everybody who does everything right. It's the exceeding greatness of His power to those who what? Believe according to the resurrection power that was in Christ. Boy, I'm telling you, do you know how powerful your believer is? That in every situation that you face, you have the choice to get your believer going and experience the exceeding greatness of His power. Greater than what? Well, what's your need right now? Right. It's greater than that need, and it's a full supply. It's a full supply. I'm telling you, if you're sitting in an emergency room and you are watching somebody go through something that you never want to see them go through, I'm telling you something. That's the time to say, Lord, I just choose to believe Your best in this situation. And I'm going to expect the exceeding greatness of Your power to overcome this thing. Fill my imagination with it. I cast off all this fear and doubt and unbelief. And I'm going to see that heart working exactly like You said it and created it to work. That's what I'm going to do. And that's what You're going to do. Because when I do the Word of God, You're responsible for it. That's the way faith talks. That's the way faith is, because it doesn't have a plan B. It is, it cannot not work.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That's what a bulldog, faith like a bulldog. You know, bulldog, you know, his jaw comes up under this way. And you know why that is? So he can clamp down on that thing and not take his eyes off the enemy for 1 minute. And nothing is going to get that thing loose. You got to shoot it. So the devil is going to have to do something that he can't do. He can't kill you. He's going to have to do something he can't. If you're doggedly and determined. And you say, well, they died anyway. We're not done yet. Because the resurrection power of Christ, which is exceeding greatness of His power, is in me both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And He is the resurrection and the life. It will not return void, but it will accomplish that which He pleases. And what pleases Him is life. What pleases Him is overcoming the devil. What every chance we get to prove that the devil is a liar.
Yes.
Count it all joy. Whoa, get your joy working. Yes, whoa. Oh, hallelujah. Did you know that you cannot fail?
Yes.
Did you know that you cannot be defeated? When you decide to believe God and the devil looks at you, And all of a sudden, the shadow of the Almighty overshadows you. And the devil goes like this. And he looks up and sees who's standing behind you. And he goes, excuse me. Oh, hallelujah. Everybody forsook Paul when he was in a prison and everything. And he says, I pray that that not be laid to their account. But he said, you know what? The Lord stood with me in that cell and encouraged him to preach, because this word must go forth. This is the word that liberates. This is the word that cuts you loose from bondage, that sets you free and destroys those yokes in your life that you don't need, that you don't want, that keep on pushing your nose in the dirt. Mm-mm. Today's the day. You have every right because he's your shepherd. You can confront it. You can overcome it, and you can walk above it. You can imagine. Fill your imagination with the thoughts of God, with the truth, and destroy those fantasies and the lies that say you can't, because, you know, you're just you. No, I'm not. I'm not just a mere human being. God lives in me. I am a son of the living God, and I can do all things through him, which strengthens me. Praise God. You need to know this going into every battle, that you're a winner. You need to go into every argument knowing that God has given you the answers. God will show you things to come, it says, by the Holy Spirit. Are you here today? Are you ready to tap into the exceeding greatness of his power? Condition: believe. Why not? I mean, if you got to go through this life anyhow, why not do it believing? You know, but I'm not going to stay here 1 second longer. Then, because eternity is so rich and pure and great. In everything, beyond what you're able to imagine, you have nothing to lose by believing God, who created it all. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God that dwells in you. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And nobody is going to... You can't... Jesus said this. The Scripture cannot be broken. Did you realize that? If you look out in the world, you see people breaking the Scripture every day. No, they're not. They're just living contrary to it. And if they do that long enough, it'll break them. But you cannot break the Scripture. Throw that Scripture in the devil's face. Jam it right between his eyes and say, take this, devil. Take that, devil! And even if they kill you, you can go out here shouting, knowing that you have the victory anyhow. Because you can't lose. Say, what if I die? Well, you ought to know you're going to die. I mean, you know that's coming, right? You should have known that. So why fear it?
Right.
It says, for as much then as the children were partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy them, him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and to deliver those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Say this, I am not a subject to the devil's bondage.
I am a citizen
of the kingdom of heaven.
And I am a child
of the living God.
Amen.
Hope you got something out of that today, because I sure did. We're going to close with a song today.